Hit a home run and get pre-approved for your next refinance or home purchase at thehomeloanexpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
This is Cardinals broadcaster and Schnucks shopper Dan McLaughlin. Schnucks would like everyone to know how much they appreciate our community during this very difficult time. They know this isn't easy for everyone, and that's why Schnucks is working around the clock to make sure they handle the needs of our community. Schnucks wants to say thank you for your support, your patience, and your never quit attitude, as we will all get through this together. Schnucks appreciates our community, and they want all of their shoppers to know how much they mean to them.
This is Scoops with Danny Mac, a Wednesday edition. Brian Walton is my guest from thecardinalnation.com, extensively covering the St. Louis Cardinals, the draft, and the minor league system. And Brian, let's start with what was just a week ago, the Major League Baseball draft. It was only five rounds. The Cardinals had seven picks in the five rounds. And man, Randy Flores and John Mozeliak in the front office, they really went for it. And just give me a general sense of what you thought of the St. Louis Cardinals draft.
Well, I think what the Cardinals did surprised a number of us in that they took some risk. Their first three picks were all teenagers, 18, 18, and 17 years old, respectively. So high school players who will need longer to develop, but have a higher ceiling than a number of the college players, a typical college pitcher that the Cardinals were sort of known in the past for taking. So they took some chances, and based on what some of the observers said, they had a very good draft. CBS gave them an A score. Eduardo Perez, the ESPN analyst who was live, said that he felt that the Cardinals had the best draft of any of the 30 teams. So, you know, of course, the proof will be when they actually finally get on the field, which doesn't look like it will be until 2021. But on paper, at least, it looks like while the Cardinals took some chances, they look like some very decent chances. And later in the draft, they filled out with more of the kind of players that you would expect they would to have a very balanced draft, considering it was only seven picks.
I love the young man that had a commitment to go to Duke. His mother went to WashU right here in St. Louis, father an MIT product. And this young man had a 3.9 GPA, third baseman. He's a 6'5" product, great athlete, big arm. And they think that this kid could be really, really good. Tell us about the first round pick.
Jordan Walker from Decatur, Georgia, 6'5", 220. What the Cardinals like most about him is that he has big power potential, not only in size, but also in his capability. He was ranked the number two high school prospect in the entire draft, according to Perfect Game, and that included pitchers. So for him, you know, to fall to the Cardinals at number 21 was a great opportunity for them. He runs a 6'5", 6'40". He pitched, and he threw a 93-mile-an-hour fastball, so he's got a great arm to play third base where he'll be with the Cardinals. And when we had the opportunity as a media to speak to Jordan Walker and his family draft night, I asked him to scout himself, and he basically said, hey, you know, I'm really great at pitches in, but I'm working on my coverage on the outside of the plate because I want to be a complete hitter. Just a very, very impressive young man, as you mentioned, comes from a great family. The question will be his draft slot money is about $3.1 million. You know, what's it going to take for the Cardinals to sign him? Clearly, it seemed from what he said and what his dad said that their intent is for him to join the Cardinals, but they still have to work out the cash.
Would he project as a third baseman at that size, or would they move him to the outfield?
At this point in time, folks are saying that he's got the arm. I think his movements will be the key, you know, whether he'll have the agility necessary. But a guy who runs a 6'5", 6'40 right now, I think based on what we know, little we know right now, the belief is that, yeah, he can stay sick at third.
Yeah, and when you think about a guy that could be a two-way player and he's got a big arm like that, are you talking about him just exclusively being a power hitter? And when you're 18, do they even think about putting him on the mound that early in a career, or is he just exclusively a position player?
No, they're saying that Walker is going to be a hitter only, a third baseman only. But their second pick, Mason Wynn, is a guy that they believe can be a two-way player. So he may be the first two-way player that, you know, formal one that comes up through the system. And the interesting thing about Mason Wynn is that he is a shortstop. So he plays at, you know, obviously the most important defensive position on the infield and has near elite bat speed at offensively. And he's only 5'11", but on the mound, he can touch 98, 99. He's got a plus slider, and he's working on a changeup. And another guy that runs a 6'5", 40. So an incredible athlete in Mason Wynn, and he will, in fact, and there's a lot of John Mozeliak talked with us about, you know, the pressure that he's going to face, you know, trying to serve two masters, but the Cardinals are ready to let Mason Wynn give it a shot. And that's exciting.
Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com with us talking about the Cardinals draft. How about 3, 4, and 5 in those rounds? Where did the Cardinals go in that direction in terms of the draft?
Well, before they went to 3, 4, 5, they had a competitive balance round, a competitive balance pick, and a compensation pick for the loss of Marcell Ozuna. Took another high schooler, Tink Hentz, a right-handed pitcher, a 17-year-old, so it's going to take some time, but interesting potential. And then Alec Burleson, an outfielder from East Carolina who has already signed. And, again, is another guy that was a two-way player in college, but a left-handed bat has some power potential. Then in the third and fourth rounds, they took pitchers. They took a pitcher from Oklahoma, Levi Prater, and a Missouri pitcher, Ian Bedell, who a lot of folks know locally. Again, both these young men, while they were college juniors, they're only 20 years old, so a lot of development potential. Prater's a left-hander, Bedell's a right-hander. So both of them, you know, have some opportunity to step into the system and help fill some of that pitching gap. Their final pick in the fifth round, an outfielder from Long Beach State, L.J. Jones IV, or Leonard Jones, had a great freshman year at Long Beach State, but then was injured most last year, and then this year only played, of course, in a handful of games. But is, again, another raw talent, only 20 years old, looks like he has some power potential. And like Burleson, Jones is the second player that the Cardinals have announced signed, and he also signed under slot. So by getting Burleson and Jones under contract, the Cardinals have already put aside close to $500,000 that they're going to use to sign one of these other five players that haven't come on board yet.
Brian, what did you see that teams did that the virus dictated with this draft? With this being only 5 rounds and signability and all the different things going on with kids saying, well, maybe I'll go back or maybe I should come out. What did you see the direction of the draft go this year because of this being so odd?
Well, as expected, the percentage of high school picks were down overall because of the options that players have to go back. But the Cardinals were sort of, you know, moved against that grain by picking their first 3 picks as high schoolers. The other thing that I've learned in talking with some of the non-drafted free agents that have signed after the draft, the guys that, you know, weren't picked in the first 5 rounds, is that even though they only get $20,000 each to sign, you know, they're happy to take that because they know that the analytics that major league teams have are very, very focused on the age of the player. And so that while a junior or a college senior get another year of eligibility, they can't stop the age clock. So instead of being 22 years old this year, they're going to be 23 years old next year. And that makes them, at 23, makes them less appealing to a major league organization than at 22. And so some of them are willing to take less money to get started on their professional career sooner. Now, the reality is, how much sooner can they really get started if games won't be able to be played till next April? And that's a different point for a different time. But certainly all these young men who have been signed by the Cardinals or will be signed, you know, we'll get an opportunity to be indoctrinated into the organization and begin their training and development program under the Cardinals player development staff under Gary LaRocque, which they wouldn't if they stayed in school.
Yeah, what people may not know is that there's the 5 rounds, and correct me if I'm wrong, and then it's almost like free agency. You can sign for $20,000, and you can sign with any team. What has that been like, seeing the recruitment of these kids? And some of these guys are good players. I mean, the Cardinals made hay on very good players that made it to the big leagues that were not top 5 round picks. What has that been like around Major League Baseball to see these kids get signed?
It's really interesting, Dan. Baseball America has done a good job of compiling the lists as they're announced. And what you see is a huge difference in how organizations are approaching this free agency of these non-drafted players. There have been at least 3 organizations who have not drafted a single player, not signed a single non-drafted free agent. At the other end of the spectrum, you've got teams like the Royals and the Red Sox and the Cardinals who have picked up 8 players, 8, you know, potentially very, very good players at $20,000 each, very, very low investment. And I just don't get why these other organizations are sitting on the sideline while these other teams are scooping up good talent. And I give the Cardinals credit for, you know, it would be easy to lay back and say, well, you know, we got to get rid of all these minor league teams anyway. You know, we're not going to sign players, but they're not. They have picked up already 8 non-drafted free agents, actually more than they drafted. They drafted seven. And, you know, that gives them, again, you know, another leg up in the development side. And then they picked up, I think it's four pitchers, a couple outfielders, a third baseman, and a catcher. So now we're to 15 players, and it feels less like a truncated year. Certainly 15 players are still fewer than would have been drafted in a normal year, but it's not just five rounds. Now the Cardinals have 15 players, assuming they sign everybody, that, you know, will be joining the system.
How are they recruiting them? What are they doing?
Well, they went through the same process that they went through for draft. I mean, they scouted the players, they evaluated their tools, they assessed their signability. But then, of course, the next dimension is, hey, you know, if you're not drafted, are you willing to sign for $20,000? And that's a huge decision. And in that case, you know, the onus is on the player to say, hey, do I want to sign with the Cardinals? Do I want to sign with the Indians? Do I want to sign with the Padres?
Who
do I want to sign with?
Yeah, but I mean, like, what are they saying to make them, entice them to go to St. Louis or to Team X? Why are they saying, hey, come here, this is the right spot for you?
Well, the standard answer that we get is that the players look at the opportunity, they look at the history of the organization and how they have fostered and run player development. Are they serious about it? You know, have they done a good job in getting non-top drafted players to the major leagues? And the Cardinals have a good reputation there. Now, one of the other areas that has differentiated some organizations is that a couple of the organizations, specifically the Blue Jays, the Cubs, are paying minor leaguers a little higher salary. The Giants also are giving a stipend to minor league players for housing. It doesn't look like that's come big into the decision process yet, but I know if I was a young man, I'd be looking at those things as well.
In terms of now, if you sign and there's no minor league baseball, what can you do this year specifically for player development? So you're one of those top five round picks, and you're maybe one of the 20,000 signees. What are you doing in terms of this summer trying to stay sharp?
Well, I'm sure the Cardinals, once they're signed, I'm sure the Cardinals will evaluate them, and they'll bring them in for a physical course, and they'll give them some type of development program, and they'll be watched and monitored and counseled just like the regular minor league players. I think, you know, one thing that's been talked about and is probably on the back burner until Major League Baseball solves the bigger issues, but was the potential of an expanded Arizona Fall League type of development program that might play later this summer, maybe a little earlier than the fall, that would allow an organization to bring in a full roster of players, not just six or seven or eight. And I would just guess, and again, this is completely my speculation because nobody's talking about it yet, but if I were the Cardinals and I were to bring in a roster of 25, 30 players, I would certainly include those seven draft picks in there to get some indoctrination into the system and maybe, you know, play a little, backfield baseball before this 2020 year is out.
Man, this is crazy stuff. Brian, this is great stuff, and I appreciate it. I'm sure you're working busy and being busy right now with – this is right up your alley with what's happening, and you'll have it covered at thecardinalnation.com. What are you working on right now?
Well, what folks can see when they come will be most recently – we're assessing where these seven players, assuming they sign, would fit in our Cardinal Nation top 50 prospect list. So, you know, where's Jordan Walker fit when you consider him against Andrew Kisner or, Jake Woodford or any of the other guys in the system? So we're placing all these guys in the top 50, and we'll be sharing that logic with readers.
All right, buddy. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. We'll catch you up next week.
Take care, Dan.
Dan McLaughlin here to tell you about the hometown automotive family I trust the most, the Loof Hughes Automotive Network, and you know they are St. Louis. Loof Hughes has been a part of St. Louis for over seven decades. They're proud to support St. Louis and the surrounding areas with cars, youth, sports, and charitable efforts. 14 brands, 10 locations. Just visit Fuse.com to start shopping today.
Loof Hughes, we are St. Louis.